Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios. Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville. Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live in Vancouver, British Columbia at the International Cannabis Business Conference, and I thought it would be nice to talk to a Vancouver native, maybe get the feel of this great city, and I found a really good one. It's a fellow by the name of Tommy Chong. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. Tommy Chong, yeah. Thanks for being here, Tommy. Great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Great to be back in Vancouver.
And got to be pretty excited about, you know, what's happening in California and all around the U.S. and here in Canada as far as legalization goes.
Yeah, we're slowly getting there.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about the prospects of passing in California?
Oh, man, it's happening, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, you get Trudeau in power. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of Harper and all that Bush after smell. You know?
No kidding.
And now we're gonna be prosperous again. You know.
Yeah. And how are your various business ventures going? I know you got the Chong Bongs, you got the rolling papers and such.
They're all helping support my starving kids. You know, they're my kids, but still, you know. It's all going good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just glad that I'm still physically able to still enjoy it.
No kidding. I know your time is very limited here. You've got your keynote that you're about to go up and do. What are some of the things you want to leave our listeners with as far as this experience?
I just want everybody to be as happy as I am. You know? And if I can get everybody just, you know, a tenth of as happy as I've been with my life, then I'll be satisfied.
That's fantastic. Well, Tommy, I know you got to go. You got to get to that keynote. Enjoy the expo. Thanks for stopping by and talking to us.
My pleasure, man.
Good luck with everything.
I'll come back when I got more time.
All right. I'll be here tomorrow. So if you're here, we'll be here.
I'll see you.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Thanks so much. Yes. Having a great time here at the International Cannabis Business Conference. It's the amazing people that you get to meet and talk to here. There are a few more around that we'll get a chance to talk to. Steve Bloom now is appeared in the room here. He's getting Tommy out to the keynote. Steve will be interviewing Tommy Chong. And we've got another great guy here we could talk to. The legendary reggae artist, Rocker T. Rocker T, welcome back. How you doing?
What's up, Russ? How you doing, man? I'm doing great.
That's fantastic.
Passing through.
Yeah, yeah. We've gotten to see each other a few times at these events that Alex puts on, and I've gotten to see your performances. They've been great. Tell us about tonight. Tell us about your feelings here in Canada and just generally how legalization is taking over.
I love being in Vancouver. I haven't been here in 3 years.
Yeah?
And I had a great time then. I'm having a great time now. I just went out for the whole day. Just having a ball.
It's kind of stormy today, though.
Yeah, well, I waited for the rain to settle, and I wasn't too worried about that. You know, I don't mind the weather.
Yeah.
It's nice here, real nice here, and folks are super, super kind and just have a good time. And it just got me really charged.
Yeah.
Really charged up for tonight.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, you're OG. You go way back as far as being a supporter, a supporter of cannabis and its legalization. And how does it feel that now that, like, the rest of the world's coming around to this? And do you worry that maybe they're not getting the full cultural or spiritual aspects right?
Yeah, sometimes I do like, check on how we were doing it no matter what was done to us in return, and it's much more comfortable for folks. So I think that I don't think it's left out in any way, but I think that some folks maybe just kind of jump past the real roots of the actual, even the plant itself, that it's a mystical plant that kind of reached out, I think, to us more than we like put our print on it, and it continues to do so. It's still healing us. It's still helping us in so many ways. So I think that's just, it's important to remind people of those kind of things and the roots of the struggle as well.
Yeah.
That the struggle of the Rastafarians, the Indians who came west from India, and the Rastafarians in Jamaica, and then the struggle with the Mexican people in the Southwest as well. And the natives indigenous plants, right? So I won't stop reminding folks. You know, I keep it positive.
It's always quite telling how the natural entheogens used by indigenous peoples are the ones that became criminalized, but the pharmaceutical synthetic preparations made by corporations run by white folks, those are just fine.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's just the thing that be going on. Like, yeah. So we, you know, my family and I, we keep old ways alive. We keep ancestral ways and practices and memories, and we keep the story going.
So what's happening lately with your musical career? Are there any new albums or any collaborations?
I put out a new album in June, The Return of the True Ganja Man.
Excellent.
The 20-year anniversary of the original True Ganja Man track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Love that track.
And I've collaborated with Gappy Ranks again, collaborated with President Brown this time.
Yeah.
A bunch of people, Skip Wicked, Mama T from Hawaii. Made a song with Mr. Williams and Michael Rose from Black Uhuru.
Oh, yeah?
And that is doing very well.
So, folks, for the listeners out there,
we're going to be performing tonight at the Studio Records.
Yes.
Some of the new stuff. I'll be definitely dropping some of the new stuff.
Oh, looking forward to that. And just real quick, I'm going to put in the background here a little bit of True Ganja Man. True Ganja Man.
Yes, kind of sent me on a worldwide journey. When that tune came out, I started traveling everywhere.
Yeah. Actually, I can't get that track to start, so I'll have to hold off on that. But it's amazing the changes that are happening. And to me, part of this that's so wonderful is the embrace of these, I don't know, I would call it hippie, but this ethos from the 60s and 70s that was about sustainability and ecological, you know, understanding and recycling and all that. So to me, it's you know, the marijuana part of it, the ganja part, cannabis part, is part of a bigger cycle that we're starting to experience.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think that's like a normal part of someone's everyday thing in their jar on their table.
Yeah. Right on. So you've got the performance coming up.
That's like a regular thing. It's to me, it's always been so like incredible that it's so demonized.
Yeah.
And it's like normal thing for so many people for how many thousands of years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just normal.
Do you think that
you stay healthy and you stay calm and, you know, less violence and, you know, all kind of things. So
yeah. Do you think that legalization and the change in the culture and the mainstream acceptance takes anything away from our culture or you know, because I have some people that are like, yeah, but, you know, in the old days, you know, when it's illegal, everybody has to share and everybody has to be, you know, concerned with each other and watch each other's back, where when it's legal, maybe people separate more and don't have as much community. Do you worry about that?
Well, we just got to keep sharing.
Yeah.
You know, I share. And I know a lot of people who share. So.
Yeah, sharing means caring.
Yeah, so I think that's the way to negate any worry about that.
Yeah.
Is to just make sure that sharing doesn't cease, you know.
Yeah, right on, yeah. Right on. So if the people listening out there want to find your music or get in touch with you online, do you have any contact form?
Easiest way is Instagram, RockerTEE. RockerTEE.
Right on.
On Instagram. I'm on SoundCloud, Rocker-T on SoundCloud. And I have a Bandcamp also, Rocker-T.
All right.
It's on Bandcamp.
Excellent. Well, Rocker-T, thanks for stopping by, brother. And we'll see you tonight at the after party. It'll be a lot of fun.
Much love, man. Yes, I.
All right. Hey, we got more guests that'll be appearing here all throughout this hour, too. I can't, you know, give you a schedule because everybody's kind of wandering in, wandering out. As I can grab them, I will grab them. So Tommy Chong and Rocker T, great talking to them. I'm looking around to see who else we might get here. Ed Rosenthal was here earlier. His desk is right next to mine. And earlier today, if you've been following my Instagram account, you'll recognize that... I've been involved in a couple of safety meetings already here in Vancouver. And Ed was so gracious at one of the safety meetings. And man, gotta say, talk about good ganja. So while we were there in our smoke session, we got a chance to discuss California's Prop 64 a little bit. And I won't go too much into it because, you know, I'll let him speak for himself. But he's not a proponent. He's not for it. And much of his reasoning has to do with a feeling that it's not going to create a statewide sort of consistent legalization, right? That there's going to be these localities that ban or overtax and then others that don't. That is a strange objection, I think, just because that's what you got now. And then that's what medical marijuana is now, is a patchwork all throughout the state. But it was interesting to get to talk to him, and... One other thing that he pointed out was that he's not really like a vocal anti-Prop 64 person because he feels that it's a slam dunk to pass. So why, you know, he says, his quote was, it'd be like, you know, nobody's going to notice you pissing in the Columbia River. Right? So that's, you know, why waste the political capital, damage to the brand, whatever it might be. Why do that when the damn thing's not even going to be close? So... That made me kind of feel good to know that, you know, Ed Rosenthal, somebody who really doesn't like Prop 64, still is pretty convinced it's going to pass. So we'll see if we can get Ed on the mic here a little later. Again, people are wandering all around at the International Cannabis Business Conference right here in Vancouver, British Columbia. We've got also Joy Beckerman is here, Hemp Ace International, one of the nation's leading experts on industrial hemp, hempcrete, building materials, and so forth. She is around. We'll see if we can get her on the mic as well. We've also got our live phone line open. If you've got any comments, questions, concerns, topics, anything you want to talk about, our phone line is 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565 for your legal MJ here. And we will get to that. We've got... plenty to talk about here, some more stories to get to. There is a story out of
reporting for
dang it, that thing is not supposed to do that. We got some a story out of the UK on CBD, a decision that they've made regarding CBD that is quite interesting for us. We'll have to discuss that a little bit. We've also got plenty more coming up with respect to our polling data. We've got some of that I wasn't able to get to in the first hour. We've also got more on the effects of legalization, the flip side of it. What are the current effects of prohibition in the other 46 states? Oh, and by the way, if you're wondering why we started out the hour with this second hour with the first hour's intro, I forgot to push record on the recorder and missed the first 6 minutes, so I had to do it over again so I could fix it in post. They'll never know, right? It'll be completely seamless. We're doing it live. We're always doing it live here. And we are just awaiting the safety meeting that we have to go to here in just a little bit. And we'll also get a chance to hear some music from Rocker T. We're going to play his True Ganja Man just as soon as we can, as soon as that comes up for our 420 break. I thought that would be quite appropriate. We shall see. There's so much going on around me right now that I'm a little distracted. I hope that's not too disconcerting. But we are going to give you some Rocker T here for our 20 after break. It is 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Smoke them if you got them.
Me chant. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Take a look in Genesis and me say book number one. Can make the herb seed for the human. It start way back on from creation. That was the time when the weed come from. So can make the herb, give it unto Adam. That man they lose, that's how make it find Abraham. Old man Moses climb on Zion. How will they find the city in the grave of Solomon? Fireman, no way it is a weed of wisdom. Some communion for inspiration. I know they want to take my chalice out of me and them fight against long time tradition. Babylon is a man with wicked intention. All Babylon they mean a malfunction. A re-rasta man is a conscious man. Plant a seed and start a weed revolution, man. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. They find the cure for cancer in a Babylon. And if you sick and you no fit, you want to lick the chalwa. Gabriel Alamla, Sata Amasagana. Peace and love, give thanks and praise before you burn the ganja. And that is the blessing from Almighty Chancha. And who bring the message, the liquor raka. Me born and me grow as a New Yorker. But when me go round the world, they say me from America. Look in me left pocket, find a bag of ganja. Look in the same pocket and find me lighter. Look in the next pocket, dollar and a quarter. Bring me your orange juice, I'm too high for liquor. But you men got the boom type of sense in your own. If you have a little hash, I mix it together. You pass me the herb and the Dutch master. I wake up on the sense in your on the street and so oh, says I feel Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. I'm a true ganja man. Me talking some root rock and reality. And up on the mic now the one rockety. Me born and me grow in a New York City. Me come fit it's the people, love and unity. It's every type of man them we smoke sense. The young and the middle and the elderly. The rich man and the man we living in a poverty. Some them are belly full and some them are hungry. So when we get together in our community, we take a one jar for all our family. And pass it round the cipher 1, 2, 3 degrees. I know you got to bless that. You want it done properly. The healing of the nation, certainly. You light it and you pass it and you feel highway. Some them a follow me, some them a disagree. Nobody could a ever take away my sensitivity. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. Awo, awo, awa, awa. It's gonna be the masagan. Sata a masagan. Ala am lak. Madani halam. Me chant. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. Come on, oh. Says I fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. Come on, oh. Says I fear Babylon. Tell them say I'm a true ganja man. No.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
When legalizing safe, responsible adult use of marijuana, the most important question is how. By voting yes on Prop 64, adults 21 and over could only purchase marijuana at licensed marijuana businesses. And Prop 64 bans advertising directed at kids, requires strict product labeling, childproof packaging, and bans edibles that appeal to children. Smart provisions to safeguard our families. Learn more about the safeguards at yeson64.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest-growing business association in the fastest-growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. It is 26 after the hour here, and the strangest thing just happened. I mean, 420 hit and everybody split. I'm looking for people to interview. It's like, damn, everybody just bailed. So we'll have a few stopping by. Joy Beckerman's going to come by. Anthony Johnson, the proponent of Oregon's legalization, should be stopping by, as well as Alex Rogers, the organizer of this International Cannabis Business Conference, at which we are broadcasting live. This is our Vancouver, BC remote studio. So I'm supposed to say A after everything and pronounce things like a boot. So I think that's the way it works. Earlier in the show, I was talking about the new Drug Policy Alliance report that's out. This is the one that is pointing out all of the results of legalization. You know, the fact that youth use has remained steady, didn't all increase. Arrests have declined dramatically. The roads are safer than they were before, and we've reaped over $200 million in tax revenue in Washington and in Colorado each, and we're on track for $45 million here, or down there in Oregon. So we've kind of covered what legalization has wrought. There's another report that's out from Quest Diagnostics as to what legalization has wrought. And that is an increase in people testing positive for drugs in workplace drug tests. In 2015, Quest Diagnostics did 9.5 million piss tests, 900,000 spit tests, and 200,000 hair tests. And ever since 1988, when they first started doing their drug testing, and when they did that, it was at like 13% of the workforce, like one out of eight, more than one out of eight were testing positive. Since 1988, it's gone down every year, consistently gone down every year, except for 2013, 2014, 2015. Since 2012, the rate has slowly been creeping up. So according to Quest, this rate of positive drug test is now a 10-year high. And the oral drug testing results, this is the spit test, right? The one, and to be fair, the spit test will detect more recent. Well, the best way to put it is its detection window is shorter than a piss test, right? Like a piss test will show you positive for, you know, a couple days, 3 days, whereas a oral fluid test is usually good, you know, 4 to 6 hours, something like that. So they're trying to say here that actually it's no, I'm sorry, 6 to 24 hours. So they're trying to say, well, you know, this is showing more recent use. And that's increased 47% over the past 3 years, from 9.1 or from 6.7% in 2013 to 9.1% in 2015. And according to Quest, the increase was, quote, largely driven by double-digit increases in marijuana positivity. In 2015, there was a 25% relative increase in marijuana detection as compared to 2014, end quote. Now, this is one of those results. Now, this isn't in the DPA report, by the way. This is Quest's own report. And this is one of those situations where they throw a scary stat at you. Oh, my God, there's more workplace drug testing positives. And you're supposed to just infer that that's a bad thing, that we're catching more people. It's bad, because if people are using drugs, then bad things happen, right? Well, here's the deal. When Quest began their drug testing back in 1988, like I mentioned, it was 13%. Was the workplace a hellscape back then in 1988? I was working back then, doing a lot of temp jobs. I don't recall it being a terrible place to be. But, you know, there's ways we can determine this. We can look at statistics, okay? So the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the BJS, they have data online, but it only goes back to 1994, okay? So I can't tell you what the workplace was like in 88 when 13% were testing positive. But in 94, they were detecting about twice the positives in urine tests than they're detecting today. It's like 3.5% today, and it was like about 7% then, roughly. So back then, if you look at the BJS statistics, there was an 8.4% illness and injury rate, 8.4%. Now, the drug test positives and the illness injury rate over time since 1994 have declined every year. Okay, so both drug testing and injuries and illnesses in the workplace both have declined, and so the proponents of drug testing will point at that and say, "Well, see, the more we drug tested, the fewer people were positive, the more the injuries and illnesses went down. Therefore, drug testing must be a good thing, because if we don't drug test, oh my God, we'll have more illness and injury." Here's the problem. The illness and injury rate in 2012 was 3.4%, and that's down from that 8.4% in 1994, right? Went way down. But as the drug test positives over the past 3 years have increased, the illness and injury rate has continued to decline. It's now down to 3.2%. So you can't claim a correlation means anything when both of them are going down, but if both of them don't go back up, you've got a problem, right? So that's one of those problems with those drug testing numbers. Similarly, when you look at the workplace fatalities, they've continued to decrease. Labor productivity has continued to increase. Traffic fatalities have continued to decrease. So what's the problem? Remember, detecting whether workers use drugs, and keep in mind, most of these positives are for marijuana that's detectable long after you're not high. Detecting whether or not they're using drugs is as meaningful as identifying how many workers like science fiction. Until you can demonstrate there's a causal relationship between the increased drug use and any sort of increased harm, and we haven't seen it. This downward trend that happened of the drug test positives wasn't so much workers were stopped taking drugs, it's that they learned how to beat drug tests, and they stopped taking drugs before them. This latest uptrend is workers in legal states being discriminated against for their use of a legal substance, busted by a test that only proves that they used a legal substance. So we'll keep a monitor on that for you. All right, we got a guest joining us here at the desk. Ian, is he from, what's the company again?
Live well and lighten health.
Live well. That's right. Thanks for being here, man. You just got done here at the International Cannabis Business Conference on an activism panel. Kind of give us a rundown. What was learned today?
Oh, it was great. And before I answer that, Russ, I want to thank you for your tireless advocacy supporting all the legalization campaigns against all of the excuses for people to not vote for ending prohibition.
Yeah.
So I've been silently admiring what you've been doing, and I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It was a great panel, learning a lot about Canada, and basically that they wanted, I was there with Aaron Smith, the executive director of NCIA, which I'm also a board member of NCIA, and we were sort of the Americans on the panel, so we were fielding a lot of questions about our regulations and the state of our state laws and do's and don'ts and what Canada would be potentially looking to model things after. It wasn't a ton of advocacy, really, outside of the question of, I mean, it was general, it was more business than advocacy, to be frank. But, you know, we did get a real good couple of advocacy questions about our prisoners coming home and about Native American rights. But, yeah, it was really entertaining. I enjoyed it a lot.
It's interesting having to watch Canada trying to do this nationally while we are doing it piecemeal, state by state.
They're about to leap ahead of us by quantumly. I mean, it's, you know, our, and you know this, my feeling is that our biggest issue right now in the states, that the biggest barriers that we have that were intentionally placed in front of us to ending prohibition are IRS code 280E and the ban on banking. And they are going to leapfrog all that. And they're going to, our checkerboard quilt of laws and interstate commerce where we can't go over state lines. I mean, eventually we need to end prohibition on the federal level, and they're going to do it. And it's going to open up investment. Somebody from the audience said there's over $200 million in investment capital from the states coming into Canada, you know, which we're not that attractive as businesses for in that type of investment, because while our EBITDA looks great, when you factor in our profits, revenue is not profit, and when you factor in our profits after we pay our taxes, federal and then state and then cost of compliance, we're just not very profitable, right? We're one of the larger companies, personally, but we have the honor of sending the most money to the IRS.
Yeah.
So they're going to leapfrog all that. They're going to set up a regulated system, so maybe actually they can become a model for us.
That would be nice to see. There were some, you know, in the news today, I covered a couple of things or a story coming out of Ottawa, where one of the health ministers was saying there ought to be a minimum legal age of 25 in Canada for cannabis. The doctors kind of said, yeah, but that would be unrealistic. Maybe it should be 21, and maybe we should have THC potency limits or purchase limits. I mean, so maybe there's some good coming out of Canada, but those kind of things sound frightening to me.
Well, we're 100% opposed to potency caps. We successfully just beat it back in Colorado, which would have been an extreme 16% THC cap. Ohio medical marijuana law has instituted potency caps, so we'll see how that rolls out. But they're at 70% for concentrates and 35% for flower, so it's not overtly onerous.
Yeah.
But I just don't like having the concept in the law, because it's easier to change a number. You know, it's easier to change a number in a law than institute a new concept into a law, right?
Right.
So that makes me a little nervous. We'll see how that plays out. To my knowledge, that's the only state that's done that. You know, the big regulatory things that we think burden the industry are potency caps, canopy limits, and residency requirements, which canopy limits and residency requirements are often sold as helping the little guy. But in reality, a canopy limit, when you're paying our tax burden, if you can't scale, because we're operating at such a thin margin, you can't make a living.
Right.
So it's the taxes that kill the mom and pops. No one's going to have business from competing with us. There's a whole bunch of small growers throughout Colorado we're buying wholesale from every day. We have 14 retail locations, right? So we can't, we have one of the larger, if not the largest, indoor grow in the state, and we can't grow cannabis fast enough to sell it in our stores. So we're supporting the mom and pop. We're supporting the local farm. And when you institute a canopy limit, it limits your ability to scale. When you limit a residency requirement, it doesn't keep the big players out. It keeps the funders out.
Right. Right. And so those are the main concerns that we've got as we continue to develop legalization plans. One of the big concerns I hear from some critics of Prop 64 is the addition of taxes, especially if they're paid by medical consumers. And my rebuttal is always, yeah, but look at the price decrease you get. What are your prices going for in Colorado? I know they've gone down quite a bit.
We're wholesaling at like $1,000 a pound.
Yeah. Yeah. So once we remove these regulatory burdens, take away canopy limits and things like that, how low can it go?
Well, so it's a great question. At the end of the day, cannabis is a commodity, and it's going to be like every commodity, and the massive profit margins that exist in the criminal market are because it's in the criminal market. So it is inevitable that when you take something and put it into a legal regulated system, quality is going to go up and price is going to go down. We test all of our cannabis, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's hard to call something medicine when you're not testing it and people are drenching it in pesticides and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, since I started working on the advocacy side in 2003, I have always been a supporter of a legal, regulated, compliant system. You know, I was out there for legalization campaigns way before it was safe,
yeah,
or popular.
Oh, yeah.
This is the way we have to go. This is, you know, when you take a look in the big picture, the amount of progress we've had over the last 20 years is amazing.
Yeah.
Where we came from, right?
Absolutely.
With all the barriers put in our way. So, you know, we are a believer. When I started MPP, we were a believer of incrementalism. That we would say what we needed were winds and momentum, and we need more people exposed to people using cannabis. So that's why we focused on medical, mm-hmm. and we would draft those initiatives based on the polling for as much as we can get away with, but the focus was on the winds.
Right.
The best illustration of that is that we drafted Michigan and Arizona at the exact same time. Michigan was a grow-your-own law. Arizona was a dispensary-only law.
Yeah.
Because that's what the polling said could pass.
Right.
Because Grow Your Own would have killed the Arizona ballot initiative, which barely passed.
Right, 50.13%.
And dispensaries would have killed the... Well, we got 63%, and we won 83 out of 83 counties. So I don't know if it would have killed the Michigan initiative.
Yeah.
But the opponents saw the same polling we did, because their name of their pot shop, their name of their website was nopotshops.com, even though we didn't allow any dispensaries in the law.
Right.
So, you know, what we did was we focused on, I think wisely, lining up wins and knocking down states. And then once you get something passed, it's much easier to reform an existing law to pass in the first place.
Right. I've often said that it's a lot easier for patients and citizens to expand their rights than for criminals to gain them.
That's right.
It's a lot easier.
That's right.
All right. So let's give some folks any contact info or Live Well stuff that they might, if they want to get in touch with you guys or learn more, or just anything you want to tell them as far as contact.
Sure. Stuff. Great. Well, you check us out at livewell.com. We have 14 retail locations throughout Colorado.
And that's LIVWELL. No.
Yeah. We are Live Well, not Live Well. So LIVWELL. Thank you. .com. So you check out our website. And if you come to Colorado, please visit one of our stores.
Fantastic. Ian Sieb here. And of course, Florida. Going for medical, looking good in the polls there. You got relatives there.
You just confused me with Ian, my good friend Ian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness.
You're not the first person to do that, actually.
I know. You guys do look similar.
We're both on the NCI board, but.
That's right. All right. Well, we're going to take a break so I can get my head back together.
That'd be Neil Levine.
Neil Levine. Too many safety meetings.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Yo, this your boy TJ, Trinidad James. You're listening to Dr. Bino on Cannabis Confidential. LA, what up?
Nickname James, man. I'm worried like a lake. I need to...
People were so excited to see you supporting our industry, and it's so important to see people who are mainstream, who are out there, that people look up to.
That was my first one ever going to, so that was definitely a big deal for me. It's not just, oh man, just come smoke a bunch of joints. It's a lot of science into it. It's way more interesting than a lot of people might think would look down, per se, on what we enjoy.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. My apologies to Neil Levine, my previous guest, who I confused with Ian Sieb. Which is not hard to do. They're both board members of the National Cannabis Industry Association. So I was already thinking NCIA. Neil is with LiveWell in Colorado. And Ian is with Denver Relief in Colorado. So, and I put the link in the chat room to the board, NCIA board page. Check their pictures. They look somewhat alike. Although Neil's got glasses, so that's how I'll remember it from now on. Neil's got glasses. Oh, we're having a good time. We're live at the International Cannabis Business Conference here in Vancouver, British Columbia. Got another 15 minutes here before we close up shop, and we're headed out to the after party tonight where Rocker T will be performing. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we get a lot of photos for you and maybe some Facebook Lives, maybe some videos, something like that. But make sure you're following me at Radical Russ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, and Pinterest to get all my latest tweets and posts and videos and pictures and data and details. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. So Neil mentioned how I've been battling the opponents of legalization who happen to smoke pot. And my latest piece on HighTimes.com, part one of it was released on Tuesday. Part two will be released on tomorrow, Friday. And it's my top 10 no on Prop 64 myths that I'm debunking. And I've had, there's a few people who are like regulars on the internet that troll my posts like this from California. One's named Letitia Pepper. We've talked about her. But another guy is named J. Craig Canada. J. Craig Canada has been following me around for quite a long time and hates me. And he responded in the comments on the High Times piece about this this medical marijuana or this Prop 64. And of course, it's all couched in the language of, my God, what about the patients? How dare you tax the patients? Oh, it's evil, 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 right? It's all couching that kind of stuff. And also complaining about my analysis of this crackpot legal theory, this Hail Mary pass that these people are hanging their hat on. They're basically basing this rejection of marijuana legalization. You know, put a monkey wrench into the international decriminalization, international end of not just marijuana, reform, marijuana prohibition, but all drug prohibition. And we should do that because of this extremely tenuous legal theory. So he's been in the comments responding to it, and I keep trying to point out how this theory doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So in one of the posts, he points out that, you know, there's all these in California, they passed these laws that are collectively called MCRSA, the Medical Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act, that consisted of three bills. Now, one of them was AB 266, Assembly Bill 266. And what this did is added a sunset clause to the collectives and cooperatives that were established by SB 420. SB 420 was a bill that set up the rules for collectives, cooperatives, established limits on patients' medicine. It wasn't limits so much as defaults on how much medicine a patient could have and so forth. So they passed this one. They had the sunset clause on what SB 420 does. Okay, so keep that in mind. And then there was also what's the other one? The SB or Assembly Bill, gonna scroll down a bit, 420, SB 420, that was found to be in conflict with Prop 215, the medical marijuana law in California. And part of what makes this theory tick is that the initiatives that are passed by the people in the state of California cannot be amended or altered by the legislature. Only the people can vote a new initiative to be able to alter an existing initiative that's been passed, right? So the idea here is that the MCRSA laws that have been passed are somehow invalid, somehow incompatible with the rights granted by Prop 215, because these MCRSA laws get rid of these collectives and cooperatives. And because Prop 64 has lines within it that affirm the MCRSA regulations, what that will do is elevate MCRSA from being just a statutory legislative thing that can't modify 215 into something that is now elevated to the level of citizen initiative, because the people will have passed 64 and the people can modify 215. So that if you pass Prop 64, you've wiped out your chance to eliminate the MCRSA that eliminates the collectives and cooperatives because it violates Prop 215. That's the argument. That's the theory. And I wrote it pretty extensively in my... I thought I explained this pretty extensively in my article, with footnotes even. But he still comes back and proposes this theory. And in fact, here's part of the quote. It says, many parts of SB 420 passed by the legislature have been found to be unlawful amendments of Prop 215, like plant limits. It is just as likely the elimination of collectives and cooperatives will be found to violate Prop 215's direction that the state provide affordable access to medical marijuana patients unless Prop 64 passes. Right? So he's reiterating this theory. AB 420, SB 420 had plant limits. Those were unconstitutional because they violated 215. Therefore, it is likely that getting rid of collectives and cooperatives will also violate 215, because within 215, there's a thing that says the state should provide affordable access to medical marijuana patients. All right, so that's the setup. That's the theory, okay? Now, I responded in an attempt to try to once again explain why this is a crackpot theory. And here's why. Prop 215 is 11 lines long. It's a very short statute. And it does three things. Number one, patients and caregivers may possess medically recommended amounts of marijuana. And that happens by exempting them from the prosecution listed in Section 11357, which is all your crimes for possession. Number two, patients and caregivers may cultivate medically recommended numbers of cannabis plants. This is accomplished by an exemption from the prosecution that's listed in Section 11358. All of the cultivation felonies. And number three, it infers a right, and this was determined by a court case in California called People v. Kelly. It infers that patients and caregivers are allowed to transport and deliver their marijuana and cannabis plants. This is exemptions from Section 11360, which is all the gifting and trafficking and distributing crimes. Okay? Those are the three things. Possession of marijuana, cultivation of plants, driving them around, transporting. What you'll notice isn't in there is collectives and cooperatives. Commercial cultivation and storefront retail aren't in there. They're not in 215. The reason the plant limits in SB 420 were found to violate Prop 215 is because it defined limits on what is medically necessary, which overrules what a doctor might recommend. And again, people have the right to possess a medically recommended amount of marijuana and grow a medically recommended amount of plants. So when SB 420 came and said, oh, well, 8 ounces is what you get as a patient and 6 plants or whatever it determined, the court said, no, now you're determining what a doctor can describe as medically recommended. That violates 215. Okay? But the SB 420, being a legislative statute, cannot amend or contradict the citizen initiative of Prop 215. And even then, only the limiting parts were rendered invalid, not the entire system, the whole collective cooperative system, because the rest of that collective cooperative system didn't infringe on 215. Okay? So the very fact that the collective and cooperative system was allowed to exist shows that the commercial distribution of medical marijuana in California was not something that 215 covered. All right, so now this SB 420 is what set up the collectives and cooperatives. MCRSA is now putting a sunset on that. It's going to end the collectives and cooperatives. But does that infringe upon the patient's rights? Well, does MCRSA stop them from possessing their medically recommended amounts of cannabis? No. Does MCRSA stop them from cultivating as many plants as a doctor recommends? No. Does MCRSA stop them from being able to transport and deliver their marijuana and plants? No. In fact, it reiterates that MCRSA doesn't infringe on those rights, and then Prop 64 reiterates that it does not infringe upon the patient and caregiver rights. There's numerous sections that explicitly spell out that this does not apply to the medical use or medical possession or medical cultivation listed in the Compassionate Use Act, Prop 215. So the point would be that you're asking people to reject legalization of marijuana based on a just as likely scenario that rests on one line in Prop 215. Remember, he's saying, you know, the state has to provide affordable access. And so with no collectors and cooperatives and then adding a 15% tax and a $9.25 ounce tax, you're increasing the price of medicine. So it's not going to be affordable. And that violates 215. Well, the problem is, I look shit up. Here's what the actual line is. Section 11362.5, paragraph B, line 1. The people of the state of California hereby find and declare that the purposes of the Compassionate Use Act of 1996 are as follows. Line C, to encourage the federal and state governments to implement a plan to provide for the safe and affordable distribution of marijuana to all patients in medical need of marijuana. So within that statute, the important verb there is to encourage. It doesn't say that the people of the state of California say that the Compassionate Use Act will implement or shall implement or anything like that. And within Prop 215, there's no plan to implement. And there's no guidelines as to what it would take for the state to accomplish implementing such a plan. So, you know, like the critical definition of what do you mean by safe and what do you mean by affordable? These guys that complain that Prop 64 is 62 pages long, well, it is because it is implementing a comprehensive, well-defined plan. Hell, tomato regulations in California are 18 pages long. Regulating commerce in ingestible products requires quite a bit of text, especially if it's physiologically and psychologically altering. And Prop 215 has encouraged the state governments to implement a plan for safe and affordable access. That's most of the medical marijuana states. In California, Prop 215 encouraged SB 420 and then encouraged MCRSA and is now encouraging Prop 64. And they're obviously providing safer access to marijuana. Are they affording more affordable access? Well, compared to the street prices in 96, if you adjust for inflation, yes, they are. And by making the gardens protected and personal amounts legal, they're making access even safer and more affordable because a lapsed recommendation won't get you busted, and the prices were going to drop significantly, even with the tax added. Even if it was the worst case scenario, there's no standard to evaluate or no mechanism to enforce it if we're in violation.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
So even giving them the benefit of the doubt, the worst case scenario, even if it was wrong, there's no mechanism to force it to be right. That's all the time we got. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California.